B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
It all comes down to this.
An AFC East title for the taking for the Pats. A fourth and goal from the 15 for the Bills. Three receivers right, one left. Singletary to the left of Allen from the near hash mark. Takes the snap. A blitzer coming. Allen backs up. He throws off the back foot. High toward the end zone. Jackson is there with Beasley.
Knocked away, incomplete. Defense. What a defensive stand right there.
Allen winds up at the 35-yard line. Hitting the deck for the Bills. And the Patriots celebrating.
You
with
blitz.
105 on the clock.
Yes, sir. It's a good feeling here today. You know, good to see the fruits of a lot of labor, a lot of hard work. I thought the guys really competed this week, and give the players credit. There's a lot of guys with a lot of mental toughness in that locker room, and they showed it today.
Yes, sir. Not often you hear Bill Belichick quite that giddy. Yes, sir.
Not often you see him wearing a divisional champion hat. I don't think ever.
I mean, smile.
I still don't have an answer to that.
Seriously, smile walking off the field the whole nine yards, right? A pretty good day down in Foxborough on Saturday, Murray. You were down there for postgame. 617-779-0985. Felger's out today. Murray's alongside. Marshall Hook is here to do headlines. So let me start with this question. Who are the losers that have to work on December 23rd?
That would be us.
Seriously. What a loser I am if I'm here today, huh?
Spent the last, 3 hours saying, why didn't I fake sick today?
Good God. What a loser. Boy, do I feel pathetic.
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow and the rest of the week. So okay. I guess I'm that much more of a loser.
Definitely, Marshall, because I'm not here tomorrow. But that said, big win for the Patriots on Saturday. You should feel good about your football team. And so one of the things we asked at the end of last week, Murray, okay, and again, we'll open up the phone lines right away because it was that kind of game on Saturday. Talk about a complete 180 from where many thought the Patriots were going, and I think we all knew that this was, I'd say, a possibility because it's always a possibility with the Patriots. Always. You should never, ever, ever discount Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in a game of magnitude. Now, I don't want to put too much emphasis because it is one game. But so, you know, I said that the turnaround on Monday from this game, Murray, was huge. If they went out and played poorly, we are looking at it and we're talking about the end of the Brady era. Here it comes. Maybe they lose the bye. In fact, had they lost that game and, you know, Kansas City ends up winning, had that thing went the whole way, had it gone that route,
yeah,
then we'd be sitting here saying, oh boy, here it comes.
Yeah.
Here comes the end.
Talking about wild card weekend at the very least.
Now, all that stands between you and a bye is Miami, and you're coming off what I think was probably your best game of the year. Best game of the year, especially on offense when you factor in the quality of the defense on the other side. So here's my question to you, Murray, because I know that you're doubtful and dubious of where this team is going. I think you wrote them off a couple of weeks ago.
After the Houston loss, yes.
Okay. Ted Johnson a year ago on this station said that the Patriots flipped the switch. He effectively said the same thing about this team this year, that it has happened again. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I don't agree. No. It's a one-game sample, and it was a great win. I'm with you. I think it is the best win of the year. I think that there was a lot you can take out of this, and I can understand why people would look at Saturday's win and say, oh, no, they've done it again, just like last year, especially when it comes to the offense, because the play calling, Josh McDaniels, I thought had a great night. There was some real interesting and creative things that he did. I also give him and Bill Belichick credit for not going away from Rex Burkhead after that god-awful fumble on the first drive, because he's ran really hard and well over the last couple of weeks. But I still, no, I don't think that they flipped the switch, because, and credit to the, and it's more about the Patriots winning that game. But I think if the Bills had a different quarterback, we might be talking about a different outcome.
Marshall, have they flipped the switch again? Are they to be taken seriously? If you're Baltimore, you're now looking over your shoulder a little.
Yeah, they're 100% to be taken seriously, and I think they were even before this game. But what has been the biggest concern has been the offense, right? And Tom Brady, the week before, missing wide-open receivers and just not looking Brady-esque at all. He had his best completion percentage not only of the year, but since 2017 in this game, something like 79%. I don't have the exact number in front of me. And that's meaningful because I know it's the Buffalo Bills, but I think we've learned that this is a good Buffalo Bills team with specifically a good defense. And for him to go out there and have, again, the best completion percentage in years, that tells me something. That tells me that either he was wrong in the head before and he's right, that he's, I can't imagine he's getting physically better at this late in the season, that his receivers, he's now found, you know, a better kind of rhythm with these young guys. Whatever it may be, a lot of what we were wildly concerned about just 1 week ago, where we were looking at, this isn't about not having weapons. This was purely about Tom Brady not being able to hit them. That was not the case this week, and it was not the case against a better defense than they had faced in a long time.
Well, so then here's the question, right? Is this a one-off, or is it the sign of something to come? And I look at the last couple of games, and I thought they were a tick better in the Cincinnati game. And I thought, to me, one of the key elements in the whole thing is N'Keal Harry and whether they can get any sort of production or consistency there. How'd you feel about Harry in this game, Murray?
He was good. He was good.
How'd you feel about the offensive line?
Offensive line was good. You know, I still don't think that it's as good as it was late last year and in the postseason. I'm a little concerned about what's going on at right tackle because Cannon leaves that game. And in comes Marshall Newhouse, who was serviceable. And I thought, okay, so I trust him a lot more at right tackle than I do at left, but it was better. The real change has been this thing that they're doing with Alandon Roberts. So, again, if you want to think that they've flipped the switch and they're doing what they did last year, I can understand, like, because now they have, like, a real fullback in Alandon Roberts, which is, you know, I thought it was kind of gimmicky when they were first doing it, but he was damn good in this game. And you can tell how much it's benefiting Sony Michel.
Okay, so again, and you mean that with regard to the off, like, it doesn't sound like you were sold on the offensive line. You think Roberts had something to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm reading that, how about the pass protection on the offensive line?
Yeah, seemed better.
See, I thought this was the Lions' best game of the year. I did. And again, I thought offensively, best game of the year, save for maybe Pittsburgh. Okay, now there are two separate things to be discussed here, and we'll get to all of it during the course of the day. One is the performance on Saturday and how good it was and what it looked like. The other is the sustainability of it, which is a totally separate thing. So given, you know, look, it's a holiday week here, and we get a lot of time between now and 6 o'clock, and it's a game that is worthy of discussion. So I would tell you up front, Saturday, that is what we're talking about. That game is what we've been saying all year long. How often have I been screaming to you about having Burkhead and White in there at the same time? Go with two backs between Edelman and throw to the tight ends more. Between Edelman, you know, Ben Watson and Lacoste. And if you can get anything out of Harry or Sanu, you should have enough options. You should. It's not an issue of they certainly shouldn't suck as bad as they sucked.
Right, there was almost like this conscious decision made by Brady in this game. Like, well, this is what I got, so I may as well throw to these guys. That's what it felt like.
So you saw a change in Brady, Murray?
A bit, yeah. The touchdown to Lacoste. It's like, oh, okay. So you do have tight ends. They might not be all that great, but you know, maybe look their way once in a while. The weak link, at least in this game, I mean, it's obvious, was Mohamed Sanu. I mean, you could literally make a case that Mohamed Sanu almost cost them this game. You know, whiffing on blocks, mishandling punts again. Like, get him the hell away from being the punt returner. He is not built for that job.
Marshall, if they play like that, do you think they can go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, this was a
you think
good
they can
team
win?
They
you
played.
Think they can win at Baltimore?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Telling you wrong. I'm just asking the question.
And I think a lot of this ends up going back to, you know, our just trusting in what we've seen from the Patriots for this entire 20-year run, that we believe Tom Brady, even more notably Bill Belichick, the second time around against a team will see things and do things differently. I understand that Baltimore went out and ended up, you know, waxing Cleveland, but the first half of that game, they didn't look terrific until the very end of the first half of that game, did Baltimore. And so I think any time that a team like Baltimore that just seemed to just be rolling through opponent after opponent, when they stumble even for the better part of one half of football against a clearly, you know, subpar team, somebody like Bill Belichick can look that, watch that first half of that, and glean something from that. Not only what they did against them, but what they've done against other teams. So is it going to be easy? No. Would I bet the house on it? Absolutely not. But is it possible? 100%, yeah.
Did you think it was possible before the Buffalo game?
I had deep concern.
Okay. And see, so to me, this is where the shift took place, right? Is I think a lot of people felt like you felt, Marshall, and rightfully so. You look at that game, you looked at them going into the Buffalo game, and you said, they're just not going to score. They're going to have to win this game 16-13, 16-10, like they did up at Buffalo. I'd be surprised if they get into the 20s. Hell, there's no way they get into the 30s. And the truth, if we want to look at it sort of dispassionately and objectively, they probably should have been up around 30.
And they
probably left some points on the board.
Julian Edelman was gone for an entire quarter of that game and was a factor literally immediately when he came back. And I think that's important to note as well. If he had been there for the third quarter, might they have not gotten to the 30s at that point?
Okay, so, and even then, though, when Myers got into the game at Edelman's place, Myers was productive. Even Myers caught the ball, Murray.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Was he 3-for-3?
Even Myers caught the ball when Brady threw it to him.
No, it's encouraging. It is encouraging. It's a one-off for me right now. It's encouraging. They were able to do this just like last year. But... again, I think, you know, the Bills are just so hamstrung by that quarterback. Josh Allen is so bad. I mean, there was two bookend drives, the one to start the game and the one to end the game, where he whiffed on the tight end who's wide open. And I think that this team, the defense, you know, you want to say that they're all world fine. I think that they're a bit overrated and they have trouble with bigger tight ends. And that Dawson Knox, who, again, went a handful of picks after Damian Harris, who was a scratch again, 6'4". And Allen missed him. He was open. He was open in that first drive and the last drive, and he hits those. We're talking about a different outcome.
Okay, so it was that kind of game, right? I mean, it was a tight game, and the part I want to focus on at least is how the Patriots looked, how they played. We'll get to the quarterback. We'll get to the Bills. We'll get to all of that. But the primary question for the start, or at the start, for the Patriot fan base, do you believe that they flipped a switch again? Or do you believe that it clicked again? Do you believe they are now a legitimate threat? Has your perception of the team completely changed with that game, with that performance on Saturday against the Bills? Has it completely changed? Or, as Murray said, is it a one-off? Do you need to see it more? That's where we're going to begin today, and then we're going to spend a particular amount of time, or a special amount of time, significant amount of time, not special, on Brady. Okay, on Brady himself, which we'll get to in a little bit. But to start, the question, do you believe that they turned a corner? Do you believe that they've clicked? Do you believe that the Patriots now can hit their ceiling, as Tom Brady asked earlier in the year? Do you believe those things? 617-779-0985 on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go,
go, go
on the
go.
Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and goal for the Pats from the near hash of the 8. Edelman trots in motion to the right. Brady drops back. Play fake. Sets up. Lobs the throw for Lacoste. Reaches up. Reaches down. Into the end zone. Left corner. Touchdown. Patriots.
That's a big boy counter drive right there. This crowd is lit. What a drive. 8-yard touchdown.
You know, like I said, a good offense, everyone has to be able to produce. And, you know, if you can get both tight ends involved and all receivers involved and all the backs involved, it's hard to defend. So, you know, we just did a good job of that today. And, you know, you got to make them defend everybody. And, you know, a lot of guys came up big. It was a big game for us. We needed it. And happy to come from behind in the fourth and win.
Tom Brady after the game again. It's a touchdown to Matt Lacoste, first quarter. Patriots are down 3-0 after the Rex Burkhead fumble. They were driving on their first possession, moving down the field. It looked good. Burkhead crosses the 50. They look like they're picking up big yardage. They're on their way. The ball comes out. The Bills go the other way. They end up getting 3, and then you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. right? Here we go. Murray, what was crossing your mind at that particular point in time after the Burkhead fumble?
Oh, they're completely going to lose this game because I thought one turnover was going to decide that game because of, you know, both these defenses are really good.
So it felt like that, right? Like, oh, geez, here you go. Then that next drive, boy, Zoe was right. That's a great answering drive. And they get on the field, and Brady spreads the ball around, particularly at the end of the drive. Again, throwing to people he doesn't typically throw to. I mean, there was a little of everybody on that drive, and it ends up with a touchdown to Lacoste. Patriots go up 7-3. And really, it set the tone for the offense the whole game. I mean, they moved the ball pretty much the whole day. There was one possession that they didn't, and that was right when after Edelman went out of the game. Then Myers got his second series in there, and they seemed to stabilize again. But it was the kind of game that made you say, wait a minute, am I a little too quick in writing off the Patriots? Am I a little too quick? Tom and Quincy, our buddy, do you believe again or no?
Hey, I mean, I've believed kind of the whole year. It was nice to see them, you know, finally put a perfect, you know, offensive game plan together, I thought. Let me just say this real quick. It's been a great year calling in to you guys. Great sports conversation. So Merry Christmas to all of you.
You too, Tom.
By the way.
Tom, what happened to your voice?
I think it was from screaming about the Burkhead fumble the other night or something. But, no, seriously, though, I thought that the offense was as complete as we've seen all year, which was fantastic. The one thing I will say is I don't think the score is really indicative of what the game was because I thought the defense was far more dominant than giving up those points.
Okay, so Tom, stop there and listen. Happy holidays to you, too, okay? We'll get to the defense in just a little bit. But I agree. It didn't feel like a 24-17 game. It felt like they should have won that game by more. I felt like the Patriots basically controlled the game throughout and that there were a couple of big mistakes and big plays that allowed Buffalo to stay in the game. And I'm not telling you that the Patriots don't deserve blame for that because I think they do. In fact, I think they deserve special blame for that. But at the end of the day, Murray, after all that efficiency on offense, Brady completed almost 79% of his passes. He had a passer rating over 100. They ran the ball well. They held the ball for 38 minutes and change. 38 minutes and change they held the ball. They got 24 points. Okay, 24 points. Is it enough?
No. No. And this is, I go back to the sustained drive thing that you end with a touchdown. You know, I brought up those numbers before that. In the last 13 games, they now have had 16 sustained touchdown drives of 65 or more yards. It's 65 or more yards. They had one in this game. You know, they had three other sustained drives that ended with field goals, but they still have an issue with finishing. So, you know, that Bills defense, credit to them. They're very, very good. So, no, to go up against Kansas City or Baltimore, because I think that's where you're getting at, is 24 enough? No, it's not.
So I'm telling you, for this team, it might have to be. Like, so this is sort of the thing I wonder after the weekend. Like, I watch them play on Saturday, and I say to myself, can they be better, or is that it? In other words, has the Patriots offense hit its ceiling? Is that the best they can expect, or can they be better? I don't know how much better than that they can be. Buffalo's a good defense. Like, I'm not going to sit here on Monday and tell you that I believe in the Bills' defense, and then the Patriots go up and down the field for 400 yards and change. They score 24 points and turn the ball over twice, basically. One on the fumble by Burkhead, and as Brady pointed out, they turned it over on downs, right? I mean, they get stopped on fourth down, which is, you know, really a turnover. So it doesn't count as a turnover, but you get the idea. So I look at that and I say 24 points. Like, can they do much better than that? I think maybe they get to 27 on like a perfect day against a willing opponent. Maybe they get to 30, but 35, they're not getting there. 38, they're not getting there. 24, if they get 24 with their defense, they should be able to win.
Yeah, so then that means you believe more in the defense than I do.
Okay, so again, we'll get to the defense in a second. But I think they are pretty close to their ceiling on offense on Saturday. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Agreed.
Pretty close. I don't know if they're quite there. They might be able to squeeze out another 3 or 4 points.
But again, using 24 as a baseline against Baltimore and Kansas City, I don't think that that's enough.
Again, you might be right. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see on that one. Because the margin for error for them now is thinner than it has been in a long, long time. I don't know that they can do much better than what they did on Saturday. We're going to find out, though. Joe's in Hull. Joe, go.
Thanks, guys. First of all, Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
You too.
Thank you. I think you're discounting at the end of the first half. Like, they should have left the field 13-3, in decision-making and not being able to execute. Next thing I know, they're leaving the field, if I recall, tied.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that was, I think, hedging the score and the stats a bit. The other thing,
so, Joe, when you say hedging the score, do you discount it? Do you think what happened at the end of the half was a fluke?
No, but I think it cost them a 13-3 lead, and then you don't know what they could have piled on afterwards. I agree. 24-27 may be the max, but as long as Kansas City's coming to Foxborough, 27 should be enough for Kansas City. In Baltimore, I'm not as sure.
Okay, so
if he's good enough to stop Lamar a second time, when you lose once with Belichick, I'm hoping he's going to cover and learn from the mistakes.
Yeah, so Joe, you know what? We talked about this at the end of last week. This is a myth. This is a myth that you give Belichick a second crack in the postseason to a team he has lost against and he'll bounce back. It's happened 9 times. He's 3-6. Okay, he's 3-6. Who was in on Friday? Was it McCarthy?
Yeah.
McCarthy had the stat. Matt McCarthy did. Belichick 3-6 when playing an opponent in the postseason that he lost to during the regular season. 3-6. Okay? So let's not go too far with that one. And since he brought it up, what the hell? The whole sequence at the end of the half. The botched fourth down and then the defensive breakdown that led to the pass to Knox that took it down to the 1 yard line.
Correct.
And then the tackle eligible play or the two tackle eligible play that led to the touchdown. Okay. Was really that all that fluky? First of all, the way to beat the Patriots is to throw to the tight end. Pat Chung got beat. Allen made a good throw. Knox pulled it down and got to the half yard line. Then they ran the tackle eligible play, and Dietrich Wise blew the coverage.
No, I thought that the touchdown to John Brown was flukier than what happened before the end of the first half. No, the end of the first half, again, one of the issues that this defense has had is if one of these opposing teams has a big tight end, I mean, like 6'4 and taller, you know, like Andrews that they have in with the Baltimore Ravens, who's like 6'5, they have trouble covering those guys. They do. And Knox is 6'4, and he should have got hit more if Allen was a decent, halfway decent quarterback that could actually put some touch on the ball.
Yeah, they've always had trouble with tight ends and running backs, like most teams. I mean, if you get a good, you know, they've always had trouble with it. And as you said, there were more opportunities for Knox in that game. So I look at that and I say, boy, talk about frustrating. The way the Patriots played in the first half was 10-10 at halftime.
That game shouldn't have been tied at half.
How could you feel good about that? How could you? Charlie in Reading, how'd you feel about Josh McDaniels and his play calling?
Oh, well, it's interesting because it's funny you mentioned that. I was at the game on Saturday, and, you know, I just wanted to get this in because I didn't hear a lot of it in the analysis, but we got real nervous, actually, when the Bills got that go-ahead touchdown in the third. The Patriots went out there in response. They got one or two first downs, and then they punted, and that's when I was really nervous because I felt like they were abandoning the run like they did in Houston, but they didn't. On their next drives, they started with some good opening runs, and they were able to move the ball, and then they set up some play-action passes as a result of a legitimate running attack. That was nice to see, and credit to McDaniels for sticking with it. I thought he had a good performance, and the execution was great all around.
Okay, so look, again, McDaniels is another one that I personally have been critical of. I thought McDaniels' play calling has been way too cute overall. Look, if you've got guys that don't know the offense, then dumb it the F down and figure it out. Simplify the damn thing. Get you 24 points. Get you 23 points. Try to win the game 23-20. With your defense, it should be good enough. How many times have I said that?
Pretty much all season.
I mean, really, right?
At least, like, the last 2 months.
Yeah, I feel like I sound like Nick Cattles for crying out loud, turned blue in the face, saying it over and over and over again. And it felt to me like this week he finally did it. Screen passes to Burkhead. They had the pony formation with Burkhead and White out there. They threw to both tight ends in this game. They just took the little 7-yard easy passes, and it looked like a lot of motion, a lot of misdirection, yeah. Things like that. Let me ask you this question, if you had to think about it, because I can only think of one, and maybe I'm wrong. How many passes did Brady throw that were more than 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage?
Maybe two.
I can think of one, the pass to Edelman after he came back from the injury. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay, that one was right down the middle. Edelman caught it and then ran it.
Which was huge.
Right, but it was a 15-yard pass, and then Edelman took it another 15 or 20 or whatever the hell it was. But other than that, how many passes did he really throw down the field?
It was, again, maybe one or two. That's it.
I mean, really? They were all little dink and dunk, except that it didn't feel that way because there was a lot of motion. There was a lot of creativity. The game plan was good.
Yeah.
The offensive game plan was excellent. So I do. I give McDaniels credit. And now maybe they've had this in their hip pocket the whole time. Maybe they've been waiting for a meaningful game. They didn't want to put it on tape. The Patriots are used to going 13-3 and not having anybody challenge them until the AFC Championship game. This year was different. But when I look at the play calling and the execution in that game, you know what my reaction was? It's about effing time. We knew they were capable of more. They weren't that bad. They're not great offensively, but are they that bad the way they played for the majority of the first 15 weeks? Holy crap, dumb it down already. And it worked. The defense, on the other hand, different story. We'll get to them when we come back. Murray doesn't have faith in the defense. The question is, do you? Marshall Hook with your headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's a second down and 13 from the Bills, 47.
Let's get a pick.
Allen back under center with three receivers right. Knocks to the tight end, motions tighter to the formation. One split left. Allen with a play fake. A bootleg right. He's pressured. He throws down the middle for Brown, who's open and makes the catch at the 20 in stride. Peeling away to the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo, as the Bills take the lead.
I'm in disbelief here. Disbelief. This guy, of all the people. He just chucks it, and credit him, he runs right through coverage because it's off a deep play fake, sets his feet, and just chucks it. He bells, he just jumps out of the way. You're letting this kid throw touchdowns on you. That's the saddest part of it. Horrendous, horrendous.
That again with our friends at Roto, now that I have the actual copy here in front of me, being brought to you by Roto, where leasing a car online is not sci-fi. It's the Roto app. Choose from thousands of local cars to lease right from your phone, all with a crystal clear pricing. Download the app today and hit the road the easy way with Roto, R-O-D-O. Tony?
That was smooth, Marshall.
I couldn't help it. Apparently, the spots I had in front of me was the pile left from the early show, but the first page was all of the ones from today, so I assumed it was, you know, my pile.
So halfway through the second quarter, what you just heard was the 53-yard touchdown pass to John Brown that gave the Bills a 17-13 lead. So we just had a caller a little while ago who said, boy, I had a hard time believing the game was 10-10 at halftime. How did you feel when you were down 17-13 halfway through the third quarter? I mean, tell me that didn't make you want to rip your hair out. And you heard, if you have any, Murray, you just heard Zoe say it there. Horrendous. Horrendous, that play.
Yeah, that shouldn't have. The game should not have been tied 10-10 going into halftime.
Okay, so now Zoe is saying it there. He's dumping on Josh Allen. Murray, you think Josh Allen sucks. Yes. I don't think he's very good either, by the way. But I'll give him this. I thought in this game he was okay.
Oh,
he was okay, and I'll tell you why. Did he make any big mistakes? Any turnovers?
No.
But did he hurt you with his legs at all?
I mean, he picked up that fourth and one. I'll give him this. So his mobility can be an issue for some teams, and he's got balls. You know, I think most quarterbacks would have probably given up on that fourth and one play that he picked up where he got the face mask, didn't get called. Like, he kind of reminds me of a young Ben Roethlisberger with no accuracy. That's the best compliment I can give Josh Allen.
So, look, I'll say this about him, because when the Patriots played up there, I thought, oh, boy, this guy sucks. He sucks. He can't play at all. He's improved since when they played him. I'm not telling you he's going to be
great.
Yeah, I'm not telling you he's going to be great. That's not what I'm saying. I don't know. I'll say this, though. He didn't turn the ball over. The Bills didn't turn the ball over in this game.
Right.
I mean, Felger sat here in this chair last week and said he doesn't have any faith in the Bills' ability to come into Foxborough and protect the football. They did. They didn't turn it over once. Not once. You know why Buffalo lost this game? Because their defense couldn't get the Patriots off the field. The Bills lost this game on defense. They didn't lose this game on offense. Buffalo scored 17 points. Now, granted, there was a little bit of help there with the turnover from the Patriots. And they were in position to tie the game at the end. They were inside the 10-yard line. Let's not forget that.
Mazzy missed that tight end twice.
Okay, so Murray, now look, I'm not telling you again. I'm not telling you he's a surgeon, okay? But again, I don't know if he's a playmaker yet, but early in the year, do you have four picks in that game early in the year?
Something like that.
Okay, he was horrendous in that game. This game, his rating was 103. I would say if Josh Allen plays like this, Buffalo's a factor in the division. But again, hold that thought for a minute. How'd you feel about the performance of the Patriots' defense?
I just think that, you know, this game shows, again, they have this unfortunate propensity to give up big plays and give up trick plays. I mean, the touchdown to the big fat guy, which is always entertaining. I love a fat guy touchdown. Like, that shouldn't happen. For the, as much as this defense is talked about as, like, you know, one of the all-time greats or one of the great defenses of the last 15, 20 years, you can't give up stuff like that. But in the games, well, this game to the Bills, Kansas City, Houston, even Baltimore, like, big plays have been an issue. And tight ends have been an issue.
Oh, look, I look at the defense and say, they almost cost you the game, for crying out loud. Really? You give up those points at the end of the half after the offense turns the ball over on downs? You allow that pass down to the half-yard line and then the tackle-eligible play that Dietrich Wise completely whiffed on, even after the officials told him the tackles were eligible? And then Devin McCourty, whom I love, may not be a guy on the Patriot I like more. If you were to ask me to hold up a guy on the Patriots that I think should be the standard for any kid that plays sports, Devin McCourty's the guy. Okay, I love Devin McCourty. Maybe the worst play I've ever seen him make as a member of the Patriots. He let him run right by him, let alone Gilmore. But I hold McCourty more responsible because...
Well, that's his... Yeah, that's on him.
He's supposed to be the deep safety.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? That's a Tavon Wilson kind of play, for crying out loud. What the hell was he doing? You give those up in that situation? Holy crap. 21 minutes the Bills held the ball. I just checked it. I said earlier they had it, you know, the Patriots had it for 38 and change. They really had it for 39. Buffalo had the ball for 21 minutes and scored 17 points, and they were knocking on your door, rubbing their feet on your mat with less than a minute to go, for crying out loud. The defense was not great in this game. Don't kid yourself. The Patriots won this game on offense. Sharon's in Long Meadow. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi. Yeah, Maz, I have a little bit of a bone to pick with you.
By all means, pick away.
Yeah, last week I had called in and you kind of lumped me together with the rope and dope morons. And, you know, I'm not that much of a moron. So.
No, I'm sure you're not. I don't know that I actually used the word moron, but I probably did lump you in with someone.
No, you just said out there. She's like one of those people out there that believe, you know, rope and dope.
Gotcha.
Anyway, long story short, Murray, I agree with you 100%. I'm not yet convinced, but I'm hoping. Felger kept saying, throw everybody out there, rope it, you know, make it really dumbed down, and we'd have a chance. And he was right, and so are you right, Mass.
Well, I appreciate that, Sharon, and a happy holidays to you. Nice of you to reach out.
Look, they end up with a bye. They get some rest for, you know, the most important two players in this offense, and Brady and Edelman. Of course, yeah, of course they're going to have an advantage. And I can understand, based on last year with the whole flipping the switch, why people would feel extremely confident. I just, it was one game. It was against an excellent defense of the Buffalo Bills. But I still need to see more.
I mean,
and they should have got more points. I mean, they're settling for field goals. By the way, Nick Folk, no longer worried about, of all the bums that they picked up off the street, he was the best of the bums.
He was pretty good in this game, wasn't he?
I didn't think he had that kind of kick in him.
51 yards, was it? I mean, he nailed it too, right? See, I always thought Folk had a better leg than Felger was giving him credit for. And I think Belichick led us on to the reality that there was an issue with the appendectomy that first week or two, that he wasn't quite all the way back. And so maybe this is why he protected him on that 45-yarder. He wasn't going to let him kick it because he thought this guy can't get the ball there. So I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm not making excuses for him. It was probably a bad decision either way. But it does feel like their kicking game has stabilized. Nonetheless, Murray, you said it just now. You said it. They should have had more points. One thing that cost them, I mean, obviously there was the fumble. But that fourth down at the end of the half, we'll revisit some of the elements around that when we come back.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady's going to duck under center, fourth and inches. James White behind Brady. Harry started in motion from the right. Brady halts him in his tracks. Now Harry sprints in motion. He's going to take the jet sweep, handoff left, and he's upended. Stopped short. Good play by the Bills cornerback coming up to read it all the way. Kevin Johnson, the former Houston Texan, darting forward and upending Harry. So the Patriots did snap it. They ran the speed sweep. And Mohamed Sanu was unable to apply the block on Kevin Johnson, who made the tackle on Harry, who somersaults to the turf.
Terrible job by Sanu. Terrible job. You make that block, there's nobody back home. If he gets around that corner...
I think Sanu might have been so eager to get to the next Buffalo player upfield that he failed to block Johnson. Now the Bills have 33 seconds to go. Buffalo goes empty, down 10-3.
So that sequence at the end of the first half, two plays really almost completely undercut everything the Patriots did in the first half. Two plays. One was the fourth and one. And then the other, obviously, was the pass to Knox. They took it down by the goal line. They ran the tackle-eligible play. They got a touchdown. It went, as a prior caller had said, it went from potentially 13-3 to 10-10 at halftime in a game the Patriots were dominating. Okay? And just to relive the scenario for you, Patriots are up 10-3. They get the Bills to punt, and the Bills get off a good punt. They down it at the Patriot 14 with 3:20 to go in the half. So the Patriots on the 14, sneaky big possession there, right? Because if you don't get a first down, now you're punting from deep in your territory. Buffalo can score. Patriots had a 3rd-and-3 at the 2-minute warning. That's when the pass interference was called on Harry. Do you remember the play? Harry ran up the right side? Okay. So on that play, I looked at it and I said, boy, that's a good sign. 3rd-and-3, deep in your own territory, late in the half, who's Brady throwing to? N'Keal Harry. And so just store that away for a second, because we're going to get to Brady here at the top of the hour and spend most of the next hour on Brady. But on 3rd down, he throws to Harry. They get the penalty. They get the ball back. The Patriots get the ball, then advance the ball further. They end up punting and pinning the Bills back. Long story short, they then end up with a 4th-and-1 on the Buffalo 41 with 36 seconds to go in the half at the 41-yard line. They decide to go for it. Murray, did you have any issue with that at all?
Nope, I didn't. I didn't even mind all that much. It sucked that they got stopped, but my thinking at the time wasn't. I even tweeted it. It's not like Josh Allen's going to beat you. So I wasn't worried about their quarterback. I liked them, that they were being bold at that point. I didn't particularly like the play call. Maybe go with a QB sneak. Obviously did that later in the game, and it worked. But if Sanu picks up the block there, well, you're going to pick it up anyway.
Okay. Marshall, what about you? You have any issue with them going for it on 4th down there when you're up 10-3?
No, not even remotely. Again, this has been a stretch of rough play for them. And this was the first, you know, good team that they had a chance of beating in a while. And so, no, be aggressive. Be ready to go. I mean, if you're going to turn it around from where you had been coming from, that's the kind of stuff you need to do it.
See, I hated it.
Really?
I hated it. And I'll tell you why I hated it. You've had a good half. All of a sudden, what? You think you're the greatest show on turf? You're going to pick up every 4th down? They went for the one earlier. They barely got it, and they were lucky to get the spot. So I looked at this. Now, Murray, I'm with you. The play call? Oh, my God, did I hate the play call. Holy crap, what are you doing? And Sanu totally whiffed and screwed up the play. True. All of the above. But Buffalo's only points in the first half came how? You turn the ball over, and you gave them good field position, and they got points. Why are you even risking giving the ball at midfield? I know why Bill did it. Because Buffalo was getting the ball to start the 3rd quarter. He figured if I can squeak out 3 here, then, you know.
They really put the screws to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to catch yourself a 10-point lead, and they were going to get the next possession. So he didn't want to give the ball back to the Bills and give the Bills 2 positions in a row. Now, he was asked about it after the game, and he said didn't go the way we wanted to. He was asked about it yesterday in his teleconference and got really kind of defensive. Okay, so I think they screwed up. Your offense still isn't great. These aren't the Brady, you know, Gronk Patriots anymore. They're not. So I would have punted there. I would have pinned the Bills back and say, drive the length of the field on us. Go ahead and drive. See if you can do it, because we don't think you can. Instead, they gave him the ball at the 41. The next thing you know, it's a touchdown. I didn't expect seven there. I thought, though, you were giving the Bills the chance at three. Why give them the chance at three?
Because the flip side is you get the fourth down, you score, you get the ball back, you know, all of that stuff. And you just, you say they already had a good half. That's a better half. That sends the Bills into the locker room on I don't know, demoralized maybe strong, but certainly not feeling great about themselves.
And instead they flushed it down the toilet.
Well,
right?
And so, if Sanu didn't whiff, that all would have happened, like Marshall just pointed out. You know, and I think that they were well on their way to doing that. What really blew my mind about it was how it completely changed the complexion of the game. Because then the Bills, what was it? Ultimately, was a 14-point swing, right? Like
huge.
Yeah, like it really changed the game because of Sanu.
Yeah, and I would have punted. I just don't think they can win the game with their offense anymore. I think it's they should still rely on their defense more. Years ago, go for those. You're an offensive. You know, the balance on your team is tilted toward the offense. In this case, I would have punted. But that's that block by Sanu or that missed block by Sanu, huge. Which brings us to Sam in a car. Sam, what do you got?
Hi, guys. That's exactly what I want to talk about is I don't know what the hell Sanu has been doing, because he's just way overpaid and way overrated right now. Because those missed blocks, I think it was going on fourth down where all he had to do was stretch his arm out. He would have gotten the first down, soft as putty, and he couldn't even stretch his arm out to get that first down to keep the drive going. And he did that a couple of times, I believe, in the game. The guy just... he's just not up to what he was made out to be.
So,
that's
Sam,
all I have, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call. And Sam, you're right. That was the other part of it. On the third down play, the reason they ended up with a fourth and one is that Sanu caught a pass just short of the sticks, didn't pick it up, and then missed a block on the next play. That turn was huge. Oh, man, was that huge. Absolutely gigantic, and the Patriots almost paid for it dearly. Again, if you just punt it away there, Buffalo doesn't score. They're not going to go the length of the field.
What do you think of his play overall, though? It's not just that one play. I mean, he was almost gave you a Cyrus Jones type of play on a punt return. Again, he's not suited for that job. He had done it, again, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. He did it once before in his career before he joined this team. He is not supposed to be back there. It feels like something bad is just waiting to happen with him as the punt returner.
I mean,
and he whiffed on another one, on another bad block where they lost 6 yards later in the third quarter, too.
Is it a stretch to call him the worst offensive player of the game?
No, he was.
I mean, I think he was the worst Patriot on offense. I think everyone else made some sort of significant contribution. The only play I can remember from Sanu where I thought, okay, was a play early in the game where Brady got flushed out of the pocket and kind of ran to his right and then threw back to his left, and Sanu went down to the ground and caught it for a 10-yard gain. Do you remember the play?
Yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, you know, again, I remember thinking, ooh, that's pretty good. There was good coverage on the play, and they executed it, and they were able to pick up 10 yards. Other than that, useless.
But
Sanu ends in a U, like useless. Useless.
I don't disagree with any of that, but in a strange sort of way, that actually gives me a little more confidence coming out of this game in that I don't think he's likely to be that bad again.
Murray, how do you feel like he's been all so far?
He has had one really good game here, and it was a loss. That was Baltimore. I think he had 10 catches in that game.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Marshall.
But if his good game is in Baltimore and he's not going to be that bad again, and the team looked as good as I think they did, I mean, you add all that up, that gives me some confidence that a better Mohamed Sanu and that team looks significantly better.
They're going to need more from him. They're going to need more from him, particularly when they're playing good teams. This was a good defense they played. They get 24 points. They didn't need him that much in this game. But when Edelman went out at the beginning, it was noticeable. And in theory, a guy like Sanu should be able to help pick up some of that. Top of the hour here, no commercials. Longest commercial-free segment on the show. Marshall's get your headlines, and when we come back, Tom Brady, his play, and we'll ask a question again that we've been asking all year long concerning the quarterback of the Patriots. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.